Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Michael Cutler Hour. I am your host, Michael Cutler. January the 9th, 2015. The year is off to one hell of a start. It doesn't quite sound like me. I've got a bit of laryngitis, so please bear with me. But the events of the past couple of days were so significant that there was no way that I was not going to do my program tonight. So thank you for joining me. Those of you who are familiar with me know that I'm a retired senior special agent with what used to be known as the Immigration and Naturalization Service. And ever since the attacks of 9/11, I've made it my personal assignment, if you will, my mission, and I have accepted it, to try to get our leaders and most importantly our fellow Americans to understand the true significance of immigration in the scheme of things. Whether we're talking about national security or public safety, public health, the economy, the environment, healthcare, education, let's be honest, you can't name a significant issue confronting America and Americans today that is not getting hammered by the failures of our government to truly secure our borders, enforce our immigration laws, and get people from around the world to understand that we do indeed live up to our basic underlying principle that we are a nation of laws. That's the reason I'm here. That's the reason I do the program. And that's the reason that I'm so thrilled that you join me on Friday evenings at this time. Anyway, let's get off to the races and get off to the start and look at what's just happened in Paris, what continues to happen in Paris. And Paris, folks, unfortunately, is not alone in this problem, although they got hammered today and over the last day or two. We are in the middle of a war on terror, and no matter what people may or may not say, the war continues, the threats are there, and in my judgment, we have never been more at risk for a terror attack than we are today, January 9th, 2015. And so this is what my program will focus on today. Those of you familiar with me know that I have my own personal website, michaelcutler.net. I am also a senior fellow with Californians for Population Stabilization, capsweb.org. I have become a columnist for Front Page Magazine. I have an article coming out within the next couple of weeks for The Social Contract, which is a quarterly journal. I also have articles posted on the Progressives for Immigration Reform website. So please understand that immigration isn't about left or right, but about right or wrong. This isn't about being a conservative or being a liberal. It's about being an American. And there is nothing xenophobic or unreasonable in wanting to make certain that our government lives up to its obligation of protecting us, we the people, and our children and our grandchildren by doing everything reasonable to keep out criminals and terrorists who would do harm to us. That's why we spend so much money, supposedly, on an inspections process conducted at ports of entry. There's a study that came out that said that for fiscal year 2014, the administration asked for more than $3.3 billion to conduct those inspections at ports of entry. And they employ more than 20,000 employees. If it does not matter how aliens enter the United States, if it's truly okay and aliens who run the border should now consider themselves entitled to citizenship or lawful status or perhaps free ice cream, I mean, God knows what, then let's dispense with the charade. Let's stop wasting the $3.3 billion per year that we spend right now on the inspections process. Either we are a country of laws or we're not. Either we honor our Constitution and uphold it or we don't. And this is especially true for our politicians. When they took that oath of office, just like when I took my oath of office as a federal agent or members of the military take an oath, it's not a menu. We're not saying, well, we'll enforce the laws that we like. Will support parts of the Constitution and ignore the rest. No, you sign on for the whole slate. Period. There's no ambiguity here. So when you have the politicians who on the one hand say, oh, this is about the rule of law, and then they say, yeah, but if it's an immigration law, well, that's a whole other story. Folks, this is a dangerous path. Those immigration laws provide the first contact very often for foreign nationals when they seek to interact with the United States. First impressions do count, and you only get one opportunity for that first impression. So let's be very clear about it, that we need to make certain that we send a clear and unambiguous message to people around the world that we are serious about our laws. And this only happens by enforcing the laws. You know, think about what politicians do whenever anything happens, whether it's the shooting up of a school and the politicians get out there and immediately grab their pens and start drafting legislation to make gun ownership more difficult, as though that's going to solve the problem. And we could have that debate about the Second Amendment and firearms. And I think I have a reasonable approach, but what's reasonable to me may not be reasonable to others. But the point of the matter is that I do believe in the Second Amendment. And the immediate knee-jerk response to a shooting is to whittle away at the Second Amendment. When drunk driving became a problem, the instinct of the politicians wasn't to raise the acceptable blood alcohol level, but lower it, impose draconian sentences, and put sobriety checkpoints out there so that the police would go after the people that were caught drunk driving or driving under the influence of drugs. And I agree with it. Driving is supposed to be a privilege. And when people abuse that privilege by driving drunk or by driving distracted by texting, then there need to be repercussions. And it's remarkable, because even though we probably have somewhere in excess of 30 million illegal aliens in the country, I don't believe the lies and the BS that we have 11 million, what a joke, that number of, let's say, 30 million is still far lower than the number of American drivers who have cell phones. But yet you've never heard a politician or a chief of police say, oh, there's too many drivers with cell phones for us to go after the people who text. Quite the contrary, they do everything they can to convince people who would be foolish enough to drive and text that if they do it, they will be found, they will be caught, they will be arrested, they will lose their vehicles, they will be fined, all kinds of things are going to happen to them. That is called deterrence. But somehow, where immigration's concerned, the first thing you hear from both sides of the aisle, at least among the leadership, oh, 11 million illegals, wow, we can't begin to deport them, so let's bring them out of the shadows. What in the world does that mean? We're going to give people identity documents and lawful status, even though they ran our borders, even though we can't verify what country they are citizens of, let alone what their real name is, or when they actually got here. I mean, this is so astonishing that this simply incentivizes more illegal immigration, which, quite frankly, is the goal of the Congress and our government. We've seen where DHS is failing abysmally to do what it's supposed to do, to secure the borders and enforce the immigration laws, but they get a ton of money and it doesn't work. I was on Neil Cavuto a couple of years ago, and we got into a discussion about Border Patrol arrests, and Neil said, well, if the arrests are down, then it means that there's probably fewer illegal aliens in the country. And I said, well, Neil, it's not only aliens who come here by running the Mexican border. There's a Canadian border. There's the coastline. There's the international airports. So just looking at the Mexican border doesn't give us a total picture, plus the fact that I don't believe the statistics provided by this administration. Plus, quite frankly, trying to figure out how many are here based on arrest statistics is like trying to take attendance by asking people not present to raise their hand. And Neil thought it was kind of funny, and I got quite a few emails by the time I got home that night. And I said something else on the program that got some emails also, because Neil said, well, they've got drones on the border. That should be helpful. And I said, you know, Neil, those drones on the border don't really impress me. We're so fascinated with high tech. I think it'll be far more effective to simply put up manned helicopters, put agents in the helicopters with weapons, so that if an agent on the ground is in trouble, if he's getting attacked or she's getting attacked, they can land and back up that agent. What's a drone going to do? Take photographs of the murder scene? Tom Coburn is now leaving the U.S. Senate. On his way out the door, he decided, as the ranking member of the Homeland Security Committee in the U.S. Senate, to have a final report done about the state of DHS, the border, and so forth. And that report shows that 700 miles of that U.S.-Mexican border is not secured, and they went into a whole bunch of other issues. Foreign students who go missing, and the fact that we've spent tons of money on the drones and they're ineffective. I hate being right. And, you know, this is where we are at. It's about this idea that if we could spend a ton of money on a program, it gives cover to the politicians as they make sure that the program, no matter how well-funded it is never really made effective. Oh, pardon me. Got to stop for that sip of hot tea to keep my throat going. So understand precisely what we're looking at. We're looking at a big magic act, a very costly magic act. We've spent billions of dollars on programs that don't work, but then that gives the politicians the ability to go back to their constituents and say, I voted for $3 billion for this and $2 billion for that and $1 billion for the other thing. And meanwhile, the flow of illegal aliens continues unabated. And it's remarkable that the politicians keep calling what they want comprehensive immigration reform. See, they don't talk about comprehensive enforcement. They don't talk about integrity to the system, comprehensive reform. And when you look at what comprehensive means to these guys, pardon me, it means that they would admit far more foreign temporary workers, 300% to 500% increase in the H-1Bs, that we would increase legal immigration in all sorts of categories. So that rather than saying we're going to tighten up on enforcement, they say, well, let's make it less restrictive so fewer people will be illegal. And, you know, there's an analogy. And, you know, it's like they used to say with the iPhone, there's an app for that. Well, there's an analogy for that. That's like a politician saying that drunk driving is a problem, so the solution is to raise the acceptable drug alcohol or blood alcohol level so that way when someone is caught driving, they're not really impaired because they've raised the acceptable level of alcohol in the blood. So now drunk driving is no longer a contributing factor to somebody getting run over and killed. It's delusional, folks. It's delusional. And I wrote a couple of articles for Front Page Magazine. I wrote an article for CAPS, Californians for Population Stabilization. The one that I wrote for Front Page Magazine, I hope you like the title. It's kind of catchy. I called it Obama Solves Immigration Crisis by Ordering Shields Down. Here we are in the middle of a threat of terrorism and everything else. And what does Obama talk about? Taking down the shields that DHS should have had up and running and protecting us. Absolutely amazing stuff. It's hard to understand, but this is what we're getting. It's very upsetting to me, quite frankly. But what do you do when you have an administration like this, you know, and you have a Congress like we've seen? I hope the Republicans are better, but I'm really not optimistic, not with John Boehner getting reelected, because he seems to stand with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and they are a problem. Pardon me. On December 21st, CAPS ran my article, and I think this title is a real good title, but you tell me what you think. I called it Obama's Gift to International Terrorists, Immigration Executive Action. And that's at the capsweb.org website. And it's a very extensive article. You know, usually when I write blog pieces for CAPS, they run about 600-700 words. This one goes on for thousands of words because I wanted it to be all-inclusive so you could go to it, sit down and read through it, just like the articles that I write for Front Page Magazine. And so then you really have an in-depth look at what's going on. And this article for CAPS, Obama's Gift to International Terrorists, Immigration Executive Action, cuts to the heart of the chase. It goes to this whole explanation as to just how dangerous his executive orders are. And what's so astonishing is if you look at the Republicans, rather than having them come out and lambasting the president and saying, look, the president is undermining national security. He's undermining public safety. He's giving illegal aliens that snuck into the country identity documents without so much as a face-to-face interview and certainly no field investigation. The Republicans don't talk about that. What the Republicans have been saying up until now is that Obama is undermining the Constitution and this principle of checks and balances. Well, of course, I believe he is, and I think they're right. But that's not the best argument. The argument about rule of law is not the best argument. I'm going to tell you why the rule of law is not the best argument, and you tell me what you think. We all remember the kids we went to school with. Pardon me. And those kids cheated on their tests. When they were supposed to read Hamlet or 1984, whatever, they went out and bought Cliff Notes, you know, the abbreviated version of the book, even if it was on a required reading list, which presumably meant you read the book, not the notes, you know. So do you really think when these kids grew up and went out and bought radar detectors and slapped them on the dashboards of their cars to tip them off if the cops were out there patrolling with radar or lasers, that they really care about rule of law? Rule of law is a weak argument given all that, but it's an effective argument if your goal is not to stop the president or stop this program overall, but just to beat up on the president. Because both sides of the aisle got us into this mess, and both sides of the aisle want this nonsense to continue. It's a frightening prospect. It's a frightening prospect to think that we're giving identity documents to people who snuck into the country. And if you read my writings, you know that when I worked for the old INS, an alien who ran the border was referred to as being EWI, and EWI means entry without inspection. But you don't hear that. They entered undocumented. Well, it's interesting because the term undocumented means that they have no official identity documents. So now here in New York City, Mayor de Blasio, who's at war with the NYPD, apparently. I mean, it's just kind of remarkable when you think about it. New York City is a sanctuary city. It was a city hammered the worst on 9/11. Now you've got de Blasio out there giving identity documents to illegal aliens. I mean, if they're undocumented, the solution is to give them documents, I guess. So once you give them identity documents, they won't be undocumented anymore. This is so crazy, I don't even know where to begin. This violates the Real ID Act. This violates the findings and recommendations of the 9/11 Commission. It violates common sense. But where the politicians are concerned, common sense doesn't mean much, does it? So here's de Blasio giving ID, but to make certain that law enforcement couldn't look at somebody holding one of those documents designed for illegal aliens, what does de Blasio do? You're going to love this, folks. I mean, you can't make this up. This is well thought out. You got to give the guy credit for that, at least. He's told New Yorkers in general, I don't care if you're a citizen, I don't care if you have a green card, I don't care what your status is. If you apply for one of these cards, it will get you into all these expensive sightseeing attractions, tourist attractions, museums, and so forth. Why is he doing it? To make it palatable so that even citizens and people with green cards who don't need an ID card will apply for the ID card. So simply having one of these cards will no longer identify people as being illegally present in the United States as aliens. Isn't that remarkable? It's ingenious, but it's also destructive to national security. But these politicians apparently don't care about national security. They do when they make speeches, but they don't when it comes to stopping the flow of workers. So the problem that we have is that every day, more and more illegal aliens enter the U.S., more and more workers and students enter the U.S., and we've lost control over them. And if you look at Tom Coburn's report over in the Senate as he was leaving, he talked about all that. He talked about the drones, because they did an investigation. And clearly, this leaves us vulnerable. and then we come to Paris. Now, if you've been watching the coverage, there was a guy on from the Council on Foreign Relations, a guy by the name of Elliot Abrams, and he said, oh, Europeans have a problem because the EU, the European community, there's no borders, but the United States, they can tighten up. Tighten up on what? DHS told us the two brothers who were killed in Paris were on the no-fly list. Whoopee. Are they on the list that says don't run the border? So on the one hand, we're being told we got things under control. On the other hand, it's a magic act. We have nothing under control. We don't know who's here. We are clueless. We are flying blind in a storm. And the result of that is that we are endangering national security, the well-being of our country and our citizens, because of an agenda that's been generated by the wealthy looking for that influx of foreign workers, consumers, tourists, and students. What could possibly go wrong? Pardon me for all the coughing. I know it can't be pleasant to listen to, but I might actually cut my program short by a bit this evening. But it's really imperative that you get involved with your politicians. It's imperative that you make them understand that you're on to what they're doing. The House is going to try, the Congress is going to try to block Obama's amnesty by executive order. That's good. But what you've got to do, folks, is make the Congress understand that this isn't because it's Obama, it's because it's a bad idea, it violates the 9/11 Commission, it violates common sense, and it would leave us vulnerable. MI5, British intelligence, is warning that the West is on the sights of Al-Qaeda, and we are. This is not the time to leave the door open at night. This is the time to gain control over our immigration laws. And we hear the journalists out there prattling on, saying, oh, we need to have good intelligence. The magic word, intelligence. One of the best ways to get intelligence is to flip informants and cooperators. And the best tool we have for doing that is effective immigration law enforcement. How do I know? That was one of my missions when I was assigned to the FBI, DEA, ATF, and local and state police as part of the drug task force. It's what we did when I was involved with terrorism investigations. But we've taken immigration off the table. We've taken our borders off the table. So where does that leave us? It leaves us vulnerable. We have a severe crisis of leadership in the country. We have a severe crisis with morality and integrity among our politicians. I came up with a new name for the politicians who take the contributions and then lie to us. I call them members of the Pinocchio Club. These are puppets who lie. It makes no sense to vilify Americans who say, let's enforce the laws on the books. There's nothing anti-immigrant about those laws. Because not only do the immigration laws tell us who to kick out and who to keep out, but who to let in. I support, and indeed for 30 years I enforced and administered those laws. Those laws enable more than 1 million lawful immigrants to enter the U.S. every year, and we naturalize more than 500,000 new citizens under those laws every year. How in the world can you be anti-immigrant if you support those laws? So if you go back to the CAPS website or Front Page Magazine, and you read my articles, I hope it will get you thinking. I hope you will see fit to forward those articles to your friends, forward those articles to your elected representatives. Because the message to those representatives in particular has to be clear. We're not as stupid as you hope we are. You know, there's a little joke that says that pessimists say, boy, it's not just my cough. I think my brain is fried. Pessimists say that all women are bad. The optimist hopes they are. That's the little joke. Well, guess what? Pessimists also say most Americans are foolish or ill-informed. And the con artists and charlatans and politicians hope they are. When you think about Gruber, when he talked about Americans being stupid, he wasn't complaining. He was just making the observation that they could harness our stupidity in Washington. The antidote is to become educated and to confront the politicians in a civil manner, don't get me wrong, but in a pointed manner and say, look, we're not that stupid. We get it. The stakes couldn't be higher. Just before I went on the air, I was watching Fox News with Brett Baer, and the zipper went across the bottom of the screen. And it talked about a 12-year-old boy who watched his father being slaughtered by these dirtbag terrorists. And the kid said that his father was slaughtered by the terrorists as though he were a ram. They cut him down like an animal. And they're doing it to their own people. The cop who was killed in Paris, as it turned out, was an immigrant from West Africa. He was a Muslim. And he ran to the scene of the attack on a bicycle without a gun. He was wounded, and then as he held his hands up to say to the terrorists, please don't shoot, they shot him in the back and killed him. Nobody is safe. But meanwhile, we're being told by the open borders anarchists that if you dare say enforce the laws, you're a bigot, a hate monger, a terrible person. You're a dumbass if you don't think we should be securing the borders and enforcing our laws. They're there to protect us. But the only way that this is going to happen, folks, the only way that this is going to happen is if we the people push the issue. If we the people go to the politicians and say, listen, we know what you're up to. We know what you're doing. We know what your motivation is. And you can't tell us that you're, you know, rule of law on the one hand, but you want to ignore the immigration laws on the other. The cops are getting blasted in New York for staging a work slowdown because arrests are down. And that may be part of it, but I'll tell you another part of it that nobody will tell you. The primary job for law enforcement is to go home at night in one piece. Job one. Job two, with your paycheck intact so you can support your wife and children, or your husband and children if you're a woman. So this is about supporting yourself and your family. As civilians, we are told to not make eye contact with people who cut us off on the highway. Don't have confrontations. Law enforcement officers are required to have confrontation every single day. But under the climate created by the current administration, when police officers feel that they will not be backed or supported by the people that put them in harm's way, then their job becomes very simple. Minimize the contacts they have with those people who might hurt them or might file a complaint against them. The cops don't want to get killed. They don't want to get suspended. They don't want to get fired. And they certainly don't want to get prosecuted. So when they hear that there's a crime in progress, they make sure they get there by the time the criminal leaves. So now all they do is secure the crime scene and gather up evidence. Far less dangerous than confronting a guy with a knife or a gun. That way you don't have to shoot anybody, and you're not going to be in trouble. Like it or not, I believe this is a big part of what the cops are doing. It's not that they don't want to do the job, it's that they don't want to get into trouble. They don't want to lose their homes, they don't want to lose their freedom. And I think that's wherein lies the problem. For de Blasio to give identity documents to illegal aliens is crazy. I'm compassionate. But our compassion must never be used as a weapon against us. But unfortunately, it's exactly what's happening right now for the New York City Police Department, and I'm going to guess for ICE and Border Patrol agents as well. So, you know, when I was an agent, we had an expression, big cases, big problems, little problems, no cases. That's right, no problems. And that's where the problem is. Our politicians, it would seem, are actually advocating for anarchy. It seems like a contradiction in terms. You expect the mayor of a town or the governor of a state to say, oh, we stand with our law enforcement. But it seems as though they don't. It seems as though that they don't. And what do you expect those cops to do? They circle the wagons and seek to survive. And that's what I believe they're doing. the Paris situation is going to play itself out over the next few days. Hopefully, there'll be no additional attacks in France, in Europe, and hopefully not in the United States. But I say hopefully. And as we all know, hope is not a strategy. Our borders need to be secure. Our immigration laws need to be enforced. Our politicians need to show as much respect for our laws where immigration is concerned as they do for the laws of any other situation. That's the work Congress may do. Whoever runs for president in 2016, I hope he or she also has that same reverence for our laws and our system of justice. Otherwise, we are in deep trouble. Deep trouble. So what I ask you to do, folks, is check out my website, michaelcutler.net, capsweb.org, Front Page Magazine, The Social Contract, Progressives for Immigration Reform. Boy, there's a list. And when you see the information, maybe you want to take notes, pass it along to other people, forward it to your politicians, but the point is you need to be involved. Your New Year's resolution for this year, we're in a new year, is to become as educated as you can, to share the information with as many friends and neighbors as you can, and to establish communication with your elected representatives to make clear to them what you expect of them. Otherwise, you have nobody to blame but yourself. And this is the job that only you can do. This should be the way that this year will go for you, because you cannot be a good parent or grandparent if you're not involved in politics, because it's our government that basically steers the ship of state through some very troubled waters these days, and we need to make certain that the course that's laid in is true. Politicians need to have good bosses to make certain that they stay on the straight and narrow. We are their bosses, we the people. We the people are in the position, according to our Constitution, to hold our elected representatives accountable. And if we don't hold them accountable, well then shame on us, because then we are failing in our primary responsibility of being good citizens and good parents. And those are among the most important jobs that any person can have. It makes no sense that we send our kids off to college, spend a ton of money on their education. They run up student loans that look like mortgages. They work diligently and still can't get the jobs they want because they're being beat out in the labor market by unfair foreign competition. This is crazy stuff. And you know what's so interesting? When I wrote my article for CAPS, Obama's Gift to International Terrorists, Immigration Executive Action, the tagline, mind you, how prophetic, the December 11, 2014 Fox News article, Fox News poll, 81% expect ISIS attack on the U.S. So certainly Americans are not surprised by what's happening. They are concerned. And we need to translate that concern into a path of action, including educating ourselves and certainly educating our politicians, not only about the facts, but about the fact that we're not as stupid as they hope we are. That's the mission everybody must accept, ladies and gentlemen, because we are in such a dangerous situation at the present time. Because we have millions of foreign nationals in our country today who ran our borders, evaded the inspections process, so we don't know who they are, we don't know what country they're really from necessarily, we know nothing about their backgrounds or their intentions. The news talked about these four people, three of whom are dead, the woman is on the run, and by the way, when you look at that picture of the woman, she seems rather, you know, mild-mannered, I mean, in the photograph. If you passed her on the street, you probably wouldn't think about her at all. Just an average-looking woman. And she has an evil, evil heart. And so now France is out there rolling in all the associates of theirs. And, you know, remember, when we sent astronauts to the moon, each Apollo capsule only held three astronauts, but behind those three was an army of thousands of engineers, scientists, technicians, and mechanics. Think about it. Not every terrorist is a hijacker or a bomb thrower. Plenty of them have important supporting missions. And that's what France is doing now, rolling up all those who had an association with the dead terrorists. The immigration laws are a great tool for achieving that goal of going after those people who've come into the country and they're violating our laws. But when you take those tools off the table, you handicap law enforcement. You make the job of the cops that much more dangerous, and you make the lives of our citizens that much more dangerous. And to be honest with you, folks, this has to stop. But the only way we're going to make it stop is by making certain that our elected representatives understand exactly what the scope and impact of their betrayal is. So when you hear the nonsense that we can't deport all these people, when you hear the nonsense about being compassionate, these are bald-faced lies. They are bald-faced lies, and that politician, whoever it is that's spewing the lies, I guess subscribes to Mr. Gruber's theory that the average American is an idiot. Well, I will tell you, we better start to prove them wrong, because this is really a problem. And it's a problem because by rolling over and playing dead, the politicians are going to wind up doing what they want to do. And what they really want to do is hammer us this way, because they're looking for the campaign contributions. And you know, when you have immigration lawyers who become members of Congress, not all of them who are immigration lawyers might feel this way, but let's be very blunt about it. Immigration lawyers, when they see illegal aliens running the border, do you know what they see? Clients. So it's in their own best interest to get comprehensive reform enacted so they could then process these people or have family members, if they are in law or whatever, or their associates, process these people, then they get to share the profits. There's too much money being made off of the exploitation of foreign workers and foreign visitors. And that's really what we're witnessing. And that's what we, the people, need to push back against. The question is, will we do it? The question is, can we get the politicians to listen? Tough questions, important answers. And I don't have the answers, but I am being hopeful. I'm hopeful that you will pay attention. I'm hopeful that you will do the required reading, boys and girls. And I'm hopeful that you will share the information with as many of your friends and neighbors as possible to educate them so that they can join our Bucket Brigade of Truth and get more and more people involved and make them more and more knowledgeable before some unthinkable crimes are carried out in the United States. We are vulnerable. And we are ignoring, our country is ignoring the 9/11 Commission report, the 9/11 Commission staff report on terrorist travel, all being ignored. For the right price. For the right price. And that's what we're pushing back against, folks. Given the nature of my throat and how unpleasant it must sound to you guys when I wind up hacking away and wheezing, this is the wrong time of year, I think, but I am supposed to be in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, for the Tea Party Convention next weekend at this time, next Friday, so I will not be doing the show that day. But I will be in South Carolina. I will hopefully be getting to see some politicians and certainly my friends in Myrtle Beach, Joe Dugan and hopefully Lauren Martell and a bunch of other great folks. I'm looking forward to being down there, especially after the frigid weather here in New York City and the Big Apple. But I really want you to go to those websites. I want you to check them out. And don't just look at the articles I write. I think I write some pretty good stuff, but what do I know? And as my mother used to say, self-praise is no recommendation. So please go to CAPSWeb, CAPS, CAPSWeb.org. check out my articles and Joe Gizzardi's and all the other great folks there who write articles, Front Page Magazine, The Social Contract, and Progressives for Immigration Reform. And while we're at it, while we're putting plugs out there, there's a gentleman by the name of Mark Hager, and I hope Mark is listening. He's a history professor from North Carolina, and he was the force behind the Tea Party Patriots film, The Border States of America. I'm very proud to be in that film. So I would ask you to go to my website, or you can go to michaelcutler.net also, or just punch in the Border States of America Tea Party Patriots. And the tagline to that film, by the way, is every state is now a border state. So if you go and check out that website, you click on the link, you'll be able to see the entire 50-odd minute movie for free, my favorite price. They went down to the border, they filmed along the border, they filmed Congressman Steve King and Louie Gohmert and Senator Jeff Sessions. They filmed ranchers and sheriffs all along that border. And when you see what now passes for border security, you will have yet another reason to not go to sleep this evening. So I ask you to donate an evening of sleep so that you can be educated, so that when you speak to the politicians, you can confront them and say, listen, I saw what's happened to that border, and at least 700 miles of it are not secure. You made a mockery out of it. This is the can-do country. We're the ones who built the Panama Canal. We're the ones who basically were instrumental in winning the Second World War. We had the first to go to the moon. When you think of all the firsts, all the achievements that Americans have done over the years, it's astonishing. I hope you do a program about it at one time, because you would really want to see this stuff. But it's important to see it. It's important to be aware of it. But, you know, the fundamental underlying reason here is to be educated about what's really happening in the United States, that what the politicians aren't doing for us, but rather what they are doing to us. We can look at motivation, and we can certainly look at the impact. And that's when you need to push back. And by the way, the UN and the World Bank have said that if we pass comprehensive reform, the remittances leaving America, the money being wired out of the country, will increase, even as the deficit continues to climb precipitously. What good will it do us to let our deficit go up so we can employ more foreign workers? This is an act of national suicide. We need to become courageous, folks. Think of what the cartoonists and the writers did for that newspaper in Paris. We should be no less courageous, forthright, and tell people we have the right to say no. We don't have to let you in. And that's just like our country. The discretion for admission based on law rests in the hands of that immigration inspector at the port of entry. And that, folks, is the way it really should be. That's exactly how it should be. You know, when I worked with a law firm retained by Governor Jan Brewer of Arizona over SB 1070, Arizona's immigration law, I said that for the first 4 years of my career with the INS, I was an immigration inspector. I sat in that booth at Kennedy International Airport here in New York City. And that for that period of time when I was an inspector, I had my eye to the peephole on America's front door. There is nothing wrong about being prudent and showing good judgment in deciding whether or not to allow an alien to enter the United States. So that's the story, folks. We're going to cut it about 15 minutes short this evening. As I say, my throat is about to go away, and I don't want to see it leave. So I'm going to sign off early this evening. But again, please keep up with the news. Please go to michaelcutler.net, capsweb.org, Front Page Magazine. Who am I leaving out? Progressives for Immigration Reform and The Social Contract. And I wish all of you and your families and the people important to you in your lives a very happy, healthy, safe, peaceful, and successful new year. And remember, folks, democracy is not a spectator sport. See you in 2 weeks. Good night, everybody.